My prayer is always that God's grace and his peace would be given to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who does take away the sins of the whole world. Amen. So what are you looking for? Some translations pose Jesus' question as, what do you want? There was a kindergarten teacher who asked her class what each student would like to be when they grew up. Most of the answers she received were the standard that you get from a collection of little minion munchkins in kindergarten. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a nurse. I want to be the president. I want to be a teacher. That last one just warmed her heart. Then she got to little Johnny. Johnny was always good for an answer. Sometimes a good answer, but always an answer. Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up? Teacher, I want to be possible. The answer threw her a little bit, but only just a little. Kindergarten teachers are far more resilient than most people give them credit. In fact, most people, if they knew what those little kids told them about what goes on at home, would prefer that those kindergarten teachers had FBI background checks and military security clearance to hold the office. But showing no outward sign of dismay, the teacher asked, Johnny, what do you mean you want to be possible? He quickly responded, Mommy always tells me I'm impossible, and when I grow up, I just want to be possible. What do you want to be? Not necessarily when you grow up. We're all in various stages of growing up, but what do you want to be? What do you want? I mean, what do you really want more than anything else? There's probably as many answers to that question as there are people for whom it is asked. It's a question we all have to answer, if for nobody else, at least for ourselves. And it's a question that has been asked really throughout the ages of time. A couple thousand years ago, Jesus asked that question. He saw two men walking behind him, following him, and you know, Jesus had come to that place where John was baptizing. You know, that all by itself wasn't all that strange. Lots of people had done that. Lots of people were going out to see John the Baptist baptize. If that had been going on in our own day and age, there probably would have been, you know, hot dog vendors and beer vendors and probably t-shirts that said, you know, I got dunked by John or something. And most people going out to see John, they were intrigued by his message. John's call to repentance was having an effect on people. John's message really did change the hearts of a lot of people. It caused them to see their need for them to change the way they think and act. John had a really good effect on most folks. Now, I have to believe that John was probably a little tougher than even your average kindergarten teacher. You know, he wore camel's hair and ate bugs. I don't think he was too easily excited. But when he sees Jesus, he just can't contain himself. He shouts for everyone to hear, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, lots of people were going out to see John. He had built, his name had been built, probably not him doing it, but just because of who he was and God's spirit on him, everybody knew who John was. People were even wondering if John was the Messiah. But then John says, I'm not. And then he says, that's the guy. Everybody would have looked, right? Everybody would have wondered who that man is that John holds in such high regard. And with that, two of John's disciples, two of John's students, well, as Jesus just keeps walking by, and the two disciples, they follow him. They want to know more about this guy that their teacher holds so much respect. And after a while, Jesus notices them following him, and he turns around and he says, What do you want? And it wasn't confrontational. It's like, what's your problem? Why are you following me? What do you want? It wasn't that. It was just a simple question. What do you want? When I read those words, I find myself standing in the shoes of those two men. I think about what it must have been like to have Jesus look at me and ask that question. Because it should have been a very simple question to answer. They followed him for a reason. They should have been easily able to answer why, but they couldn't. They hesitated. It almost seems like they didn't know what to say when they had to actually look at him. But I suppose that would be true for all of us. I mean, John had really built this guy up. This is not just some guy. This is the Son of God who is now looking at you and asking, what do you want? He is the all-knowing, the all-powerful Son of God. He's the author and savior of life, of your life. You would probably hesitate too. And maybe that would be the best thing to do, to pause, to stop, to think about your answer. I mean, after all, you have a lot more information than they did. The men who followed Jesus, all they had was John's word. You have got four gospel accounts that tell you how much Jesus desperately loves you and is desperate to save you, who died one of the most violent, horrible deaths to save you. That's why when Jesus asks you, what do you want? It would make sense to give some thought to your answer. Because think about it. You're asking the guy who made all that is. There is nothing you could want that he could not give you. Anything. Everything. The possibilities are truly limitless. So if I got you thinking, what would you ask for? If the creator of all that is said, what do you want? How would you answer? I once heard a little pastor ask a girl what she wanted, whether she wanted a baby brother or a baby sister. And apparently the girl's parents, the father and the mother, who was about 2 months from giving birth, had spent some time discussing the possibilities with the little girl, and the little girl felt the need to instruct the pastor in his silliness. The girl said in a tone that suggested maybe the pastor might just be a little slow, Pastor, sometimes you just have to take what God gives you. That's a pretty good answer, though, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty profound. You just got to take what God gives you. Let's take a look at these men who are following Jesus. Let's get back to them. When we left them, Jesus had asked the question, but they hadn't answered yet. And the truth is, unless you've read the book, I could give you a million guesses and you'd never guess what they said. Jesus says, what do you want? And the men say, teacher, where are you staying? That's what they want to know. That's it. They want to know where he's going to spend the night. Where are you staying? That's all they could come up with. They want to know where Jesus is going to sleep tonight. Is that what you would have guessed? Is that what you would have asked? I sure wouldn't have. But that's what they said. And so Jesus says, come and see. And you know what? They did. And man, oh man, what they saw. They saw Jesus share the Heavenly Father's love with endless thousands of sinners. They saw Jesus calm storms, walk on water, and even turn water into wine. They heard Jesus put down those who were condemning and crushing people and often using the faith to do it. And they watched Jesus lift up people who were crushed and put down and make them whole again. They saw Jesus raise from the dead people who were dead physically and spiritually. They saw Jesus arrested. They saw Jesus condemned, and they saw him die on the cross. But then they also saw an empty tomb. They saw Jesus' burial clothes neatly folded. And then they saw a living Jesus. And they had the opportunity to listen to him, to eat with him, and if they wanted to, they could even touch him. They saw Jesus ascend back into heaven, and they saw the Holy Spirit come down on the day of Pentecost with wind and with fire. They saw it all. And then they shared, because it's show and tell. They shared how Jesus had the ability to forgive sins and to snatch souls out of the fires of hell. They shared how Jesus cared when no one else was concerned. They shared how Jesus would listen even when everybody else had turned away. They shared how Jesus would be with you when family and friends even fail you. They shared that Jesus died for us to give us what we could never give ourselves. So what do you want? Do you want a long life? Jesus gives you eternity. Do you want to be rich? Jesus can take you to a place where money is meaningless and gold is simply what's used to pave the streets. Would you like to be surrounded by people who actually care about you? Heaven is full of such souls. Do you want real freedom? Jesus gives you freedom from sin, freedom from death, and freedom from the power of the devil. All that we want, all the things that we need, that we know we need deep within us, Jesus knows every one of them, and he supplies every one of them. That's why when people seem unsatisfied with life, when they seem to be searching without ever finding, seeking without ever finishing, when they seem to be unsure and unhappy about what they want, the church is the place that has the answer. We can show them and tell them. We can say, come, here's where you see Jesus. When that question hits you, what do you want? Jesus is what should really be at the top of the list. And here's where you come, and here's where you see him. Here is where you meet him. And today he invites you to the greatest love you could ever know. He offers you the greatest gift you could ever receive. He invites you to be a part of his family. He calls you children of God. He invites you into his home to have that true peace that really does surpass all human understanding. There was a little boy who really loved his dad very much. He wanted to be around dad 24/7. He wanted to walk like dad and talk like dad and laugh like dad. He just wanted to be just like his dad. He was dad's second shadow. You just couldn't shake him. One day his dad was working on a project at home, and the boy came in and stood silently next to his father and just watched him. Didn't say anything. And at one point dad looked at his son, and son just looked right back at him. Didn't say much, and after a bit, the dad looked again, and it's like the boy hadn't even blinked. He was just staring, just watching. And finally, to break the boy's unshakable stare, the dad just said, well, my little man, what do you want? Nothing, Dad. I just want to be near you. That's a good answer. It's probably the best one we could give if Jesus asked us, what do you want? May God grant that your answer would be, I want nothing. I just want to be near you. Pray that would be what you ask for in Jesus' name. Amen.